What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night, February 23rd, 2026, episode 484 of the Tan and J-Man Show is now live streaming on the ISC Sports Network, the ISC Sports Network YouTube channel, their Twitch channel, along with the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page and YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, that notification bell, all those good things. I'm Tanner Lee. Right on the screen with me, like he is every week, Josh the J-Man Mont.
J-Man,
how are we doing?
Doing all right.
Doing all right, he says.
Last week of February already. It's hard to believe.
Shortest month of the year, so it goes by fast.
Yeah. It's the shortest month of the year, only by 2 days, though.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It feels like this one's kind of flown by. It's light as heck out still, and it's 6:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Central, which is nice. Daylight savings is in 2 weeks, which means we get more daylight. And college basketball, March Madness coming up. Baseball, we got the World Baseball Classic coming. Golf will heat up with some majors here in the next month or two. And warm weather on the way.
Yeah, can't complain about that. Can't complain about anything about that. But did you bring some birdie or bogey?
I did. And I'll be honest with you, I forgot, much like you did last week. And I copied your question, except changed the position.
Hey, here we go.
What college has had the most quarterbacks drafted into the NFL? I apologize for my laziness this week, but you know, you said you hated that question last week. I thought it was a great question. We could do it for about every single position. If it's like a slow day where we can't find anything, we could
choose. Well, it is combine week this week, so this is pretty fitting.
It's topical. It's a topical question. Yeah. So, what college has had the most quarterbacks drafted into the NFL? Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
You know, I have a guess. There's a school that came right to my mind right away, but that's usually the kiss of death.
But, you could take a commanding two-stroke lead if you got it correctly.
It's been a while.
Got it correct.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I think I've won the past couple years. And I think it mainly has to do with the order we go for whatever reason. Whoever gets a lead first feels like ends up just winning it because it's hard to catch up because we're pretty bad at it. But I think we both have a birdie so far this year, right?
I think so.
I know.
I don't know. I've been relying on you to keep track of it. So
yeah, I'm plus two. You're plus one. I know you've had at least one par.
Yes.
I want to say you've had a birdie, and I want to say I've had a birdie and a bunch of bogeys. As you said, combine week this week. Does Purdue have anyone in it this year? No.
Nope.
No invites.
Nope. I thought maybe Manny Powell, who led the Big Ten in tackles, might get invited, but no.
I wonder why he didn't. I know there's like a scouting thing that they kind of give draft grades out that the NFL uses and players use and stuff like that. So I wonder if they use that service in order to, you know, choose the guys they think are worthy of a combine invite. Really, the combine these days is more of a spectacle anyway. It seems like the pro day is kind of where it's at anymore.
Well, yeah, and like I know, like Mendoza's not even throwing at the combine, but he's gonna throw at the pro day, and his reasoning was good. Of course, you throw it at your pro day to your own wide receivers, gonna make you look better, but right, he wants to help them look as good as possible.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, that seems like a good teammate. I know some guys don't like to run the 40-yard dash at the combine, and I wonder if like. Another reason why Mendoza might not is he just played, you know, a month ago, and maybe he took some time off, which he should. I mean, it was a long season, and maybe he doesn't feel physically like he's where he needs to be in order to compete at the combine, where in the pro day in a few weeks, whenever that is, he can put a effort forth. So
could be. Well, I'll get right into this and get it out of the way. Speaking of combine, speaking of Purdue. the Purdue community was hit pretty hard this weekend by a loss of a Purdue legend in Rondale Moore, who unfortunately took his own life on Saturday at the age of 25. Yeah, I got to be honest. I've been struggling with this one quite a bit. You know, Demaryius Thomas passed away a couple of years. That hit me. But this one's probably hit me harder than any other athlete that's passed away in my lifetime, just because for everything he did for Purdue, he was so young. It's just sad, man. It's just really sad. And to see all the love and out, like the support that's coming out for him, showing how loved he was, it's just too bad he couldn't realize that. And I mean, I remember when he committed to Purdue and flipped from Texas, it was a really big deal. He had all the hats. It was like, I think Texas, Alabama, maybe Florida State and Purdue. Then he chose Purdue simply to play for Jeff Brohm. And then what he did in that 2018 season, his freshman year, was remarkable. Mm-hmm. For All-American, really jumped on the national scene. First game of the year, a Thursday night game against Northwestern, had two touchdowns and over 300 total yards, if you include special teams. And then, of course, the Ohio State game on October 20th, 2018, which was labeled the Tyler Trent game. And now everybody's going to look back on that game with even more of a sympathy from a Purdue perspective. So it's just tough, man. He, you know, second round pick by the Arizona Cardinals, got hurt with Cardinals a couple of times, got hurt with the Falcons, got hurt last year with the Vikings. Multiple of those injuries were season ending injuries. Not sure if he was going to be able to play football anymore. I don't know, but he was obviously in a very dark space. He just posted on Instagram last week. I think it was like 12 different pictures. It just it was one of those things you know, I was on the message boards. It clicked, and somebody said bad news or something like that. So I'm like, oh, great. Who hurt themselves on the basketball team or something? And then somebody posted and said, didn't have any more information, but it'll be coming out soon. Rondale Moore has passed away. And everybody's like, no, you got to be kidding, blah, blah, blah. And then it was one of those things, a news station picks it up, then more and more, and it's like, you just can't believe it's real type of thing. So just sucks. It's been on my mind a lot the last 2 days.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously all of what he went through, you know, he was, you know, a Heisman candidate coming into his sophomore year and then blew out his knee. Against Minnesota, right?
Yeah, his hamstring.
That's right. I knew it was a leg injury.
Yeah, him and Elijah Sindelar both on the same play season ending.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Sindelar got hurt that same play as well. And then he never really did a whole lot after that at Purdue. His next year, was that the COVID year was the next
yeah,
year?
Yeah, and he set out the he was going to sit out, and then he decided he was going to play. And then he sit out the first two games, maybe three games. So he ended up only playing like three games that year and didn't do a whole lot. So, like, I mean, his Purdue career, he only got a sample size, and most of that was 2018.
Yeah, as a freshman where, mm-hmm. again, that Ohio State game, they could say the Tyler Trent game, but it could very easily well have been the Rondale Moore mm-hmm. game. He was unbelievable. I'll never forget that play where he's, like, on the sideline, looked like he's getting tackled, and then just broke out, touchdown. Ohio State was ranked second at that time too, weren't they? And Purdue just killed them.
49-20.
Yeah. And then, yeah, obviously he dealt with a lot in the NFL too, with injuries, as well. And you just feel for him.
It's always terrible when you see anybody, any situation mm-hmm. take their life. And then also just speaking of athletes, you know, I can't talk on this cause I was not a collegiate athlete or a professional athlete, obviously, but I think a lot of athletes, you know, once their career comes to an end, whether it's after collegiately and not making the pros, they're kind of stuck, wondering what to do, even if they go onto the workforce. And then the pros, some guys who don't pan out like they thought they would, or even after their career's over, even if they've had a good career, they're kind of stuck because that's all they know.
Yeah.
I mean, Rondale in college was already known kind of as a professional without being in the pros. He didn't go out like partying with his friends, very quiet guy, very focused. I mean, I remember every time he scored a touchdown at Purdue, he just flipped the ball to the ref and jogged back to the sidelines. Like, been there, done that, no big deal. That's just kind of how his main focus when he got to Purdue was get to the NFL, provide for my family, provide for my mom, which he did. He bought his mom a house after he was drafted. And it's just terrible. Just just awful. And of course, yeah, Purdue's been doing some good tributes for him and with like highlight videos and everything. And it's hard not to tear up.
Purdue's been hit hard past, you know, 5 or 6 years, adding the Biggie Swanigan situation.
Same age, 25 when he passed.
Two of, you would could argue, two of their maybe top five athletes they've had over the past 10 years at Purdue, and both are gone. So it's a pretty sad.
Well, you know, a lot of times when I think of Rondell Moore, I always think how he could have just made bank NIL.
Oh, yeah.
But also, if NIL was around with the portal, he would have stayed at Purdue. If Jeff Braun would have left after the 18th season, he was going to go with him.
Right.
To Louisville. Because he just wanted to play for him in his offense because he knew he could utilize him to the best of his abilities.
Definitely.
But yeah, I always think about him, like NIL, like Carson Edwards with NIL. Like those guys, both those guys made Purdue cool in the late 2010s when Purdue wasn't looked at as being cool. And they were there at the same time. I mean, Rondell, like I said, Purdue, I mean, they made a bowl game in 2018, but they went, you know, 6-7 if you count the bowl loss to Auburn. And then the next year he got hurt. So they didn't have the greatest teams, but they were much watched TV because of him.
Right.
Because every time he had the ball in his hands, he had a chance to take it to the house. So
I think we've been doing our bold predictions that long where coming into the 2019 season, one of your 19 bold predictions was Rondell would win the Heisman.
Was it? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty high hopes for that team that went 4-8 and was decimated.
Maybe it was Purdue would make the Rose Bowl. It was something like that.
Yeah, I was pretty hyped up for them. And then they lost a big lead to Nevada week one, and then it just got worse. Like, Sinilar got hurt. Marcus Bailey got hurt. Sinilar got hurt. Rondell got, I mean, it was on and on. And you know, honestly, Rondell's not on my Mount Rushmore of Purdue football. Now, if I'm talking just in my lifetime, he probably makes it, but it's close. I think David Bell had the better overall career in college.
Of course,
he didn't get hurt, and he didn't turn out in the pros. He's retired now officially.
Is he?
Last year, he just injured and couldn't play anymore. Didn't have the speed, really, for NFL, unfortunately.
Great college receiver.
Had the hands in the route running. But it's just – yeah, Rondell will go down as a Purdue legend, and I'm hoping maybe – Purdue's NIL store just started selling some vintage basketball jerseys lately in t-shirts with Juwan Johnson, Carson Edwards, Robbie Hummel, Glenn Robinson, Rick Mount, Dave Shieldhouse, Troy Lewis. I think that's it for now, but probably more will sign on. I'm hoping they do the same. Oh, Biggie, and the proceeds go to Biggie's family. I'm hoping they do the same thing for football, and Rondell's one of those people with proceeds going to his family. So you just rest in peace to the young man, and thoughts and prayers to all his friends and family for sure, especially his mom.
Not to transition too far away from that, but speaking of NIL, you kind of mentioned like he might have been, you know, he would have made bank. Who do you think would have made biggest bank at Purdue over, let's say, this century?
Okay, so I was going to say all time. Heck, that probably Glenn Robinson.
Yeah.
Man, it's hard not to pick Rondell or Carson Edwards, to be honest. I think Robbie Hummel would have made quite a bit of money.
I think so, too.
He was kind of America's darling, especially after his knee injuries.
Still kind of is America's darling, honestly.
and Biggie Swanigan might have made a lot, too, for his story.
Yeah.
But if NIL is a thing, then he might not end up at Purdue. I mean, Cal was his first choice. And then
I forgot about
that. He was kind of talked out of it by his guardian. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to Michigan State then. And then I don't know never know the details, but it is said that Purdue just kept in his ear telling him they will use him at the 4, not the 5. And ultimately, it was a good business decision for him, even though he would have been a pain up in East Lansing too.
Oh yeah, he would have.
We can get right into college basketball, and I got blind rankings.
All right,
for college basketball, Big Ten related, I came up with 5 former Big Ten coaches that were all, I would say, average to above average coaches. None of these coaches won a national title with these schools, but all of them got to at least one NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Starting with Ed DeChellis.
Oh, man. Penn State. He had some tough teams with, you know, obviously Taylor Battle. Cornley was another guy.
Yep, Cornley. Yep.
There was one other guy that was really good, too. That was an undersized four that I can't remember his name. And they went to an NCAA tournament, I think 2011 is when they went.
It's last year.
Then he went to Navy. Yep. And stunk there.
Which everybody does. Actually, they're pretty good this year. My dad and I watched the end of the Navy Army game the other day. They're like 22-6.
Really?
And the closest team in the Patriot League's 3 games over .500.
That's got to be tough because they don't have any NIL there, do they?
No.
Service Academy. I'm going to put Ed Chellis. I'm going to put him fifth. I think he's stunned.
I think it's the toughest job.
Yeah, it is.
He did win the NIT with them one year. I know it's not.
I do remember that, yeah. The Field of 68 put out their Big Ten job rankings a couple weeks ago, and it was like based off like coaches voted or something. Mm-hmm. Penn State was dead last. So
yeah, it's a football school through and through. Yeah. They don't get fan support at games.
Not a rich recruiting area for basketball either. They're far away from, you know, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or stuff.
Yeah. Mike Woodson. Sleepy Mike, as he is referred to around coaching circles.
I always compare him to Lovie Smith a little bit. Because they kind of had the same personality, that sort of thing.
Former professional coaches.
He had one really good team that was, I think they were a 4 seed and ended up losing to Miami, who ended up going to the Final Four that year with Nigel Pack and a couple other really good players. But I'm going to have a hard time putting him at anywhere but 4. I remember when Luke Goody, transferred from Illinois to Indiana. He said, Mike Woodson's the best coach I've ever played for. He can he can get shots for anyone.
What? Did he see his offense?
Maybe he's just trying to hype him up. I don't know. It was funny when Indiana and Illinois played last Sunday, Marcus Domas put out to Goody, said, who are you rooting for today? And Coleman Hawkins chimed in and said, he's definitely rooting for Indiana and put like a clown mask on or something like that. It was pretty funny exchange. But yeah, give me Woody at 4.
All right, so 5 and 4 off the board. Chris Holtman.
Oh, man. More meticulous than a forensics officer.
amazing how you can, for a guy you don't like in John Rostin, you can remember his sayings.
Yeah, I know his sayings. Well, he's doing a really good job at DePaul. I mean, they're over 500 in February, which is saying something at DePaul. He had a pretty good career at Gardner Webb. I remember he started there, and Tyler Griffey had to hit a buzzer beater against them to beat Gardner Webb in that same 2013 season that he ends up hitting the buzzer beater against Indiana.
Hey, Purdue lost to Gardner Webb one year. So
good, man. I'm going to put him 3. I'm going to put him 2 because he did have some good teams. I mean, that 2021 team was really good. They were a 2 seed. Illinois beat them in overtime in the Big Ten championship game, and then they got beat by Oral Roberts at the 15-2 game at Mackey Arena.
Yeah, I was going to say the COVID year.
So he had a really good team with Dwayne Washington and EJ Liddell. So I'm going to put him 2.
Yeah, that's fair. Fran McCaffrey.
Franny boy. Yeah, he was the most fun, besides Izzo, the most fun coach to root against.
Tom Crean was pretty fun to root against.
Tom Crean was fun to root against, yeah, too.
But you're right.
You had the FranCon meter. it was the most fitting way to end his Iowa career was to get kicked out of his last game. Like, it was just perfect for him to do that. Oh, man. And he had some great teams, too. He had a 2 seed 1 year with Luca Garza. I'm going to put him – I want him ahead of Holtman, though. I'm going to put him at 1.
Put him at 1.
Yeah.
And lastly, so this is your number 3 guy, Tim Miles.
Timmy. I'm okay with that. Re-rank, I think I'd probably have that in the exact same order, honestly. Okay. I think Fran had a better career at Iowa than Holtman did at Ohio State. 10 miles, went to the tourney at least once with Nebraska and had some decent success over a good amount of years there. I'm good with Woody at four and DeChellis at five for sure.
I didn't want to throw any coaches of the new four West Coast schools in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even probably remembered.
I almost threw Steve Alford in there. Thought about him.
I was thinking maybe you had like Bruce Weber in there or something, or
didn't even come to my mind because I mean,
yeah,
he made national championship.
He would have been he would have been a tough one to rank. He probably would have had to go in that one slot.
So I was just I was thinking about Tubby Smith, but I've put him on a blind ranking list before.
Yeah.
Patino Jr., I guess I could have put in there.
I always forget he was Minnesota's coach. He was there.
I forgot he was Xavier's coach, so I watched him the other day against Butler, and Butler was choking like dogs. No,
they were. They found a way to win. I've been on record. I've watched a lot of Butler this year just because of our friend Andrew Eiler. He has season tickets, and obviously he played golf there. But Finley Bizjack is my least favorite player maybe to ever play college basketball. He's got the long flowing hair. He has the tats. He acts like he's the greatest gift ever given to basketball, and he's inefficient, mediocre player on a mediocre Butler team. I just don't like the way he carries himself.
That's been mediocre for a while now, and I pick one of them, but I don't see how it's going to get better.
I don't either. I don't either. Especially they don't have football to help them out.
No,
I think we say what we will about basketball, but like football carries a university as far as sports goes, as far as money goes anyway. Yep. But
yeah, it can help basketball get more money.
Yeah, which is why I think we're starting to see the Big East kind of fall back a little bit. I mean, you have your great UConn team, but like Creighton stinks this year.
And Creighton beat UConn.
Beat UConn. Yeah, in UConn, in stores too. Marquette stinks now. Xavier's not very good. Cincinnati's in the Big 12. They did just
Cincinnati's not in the Big East.
I know. That's why I said they're in the Big 12. They were in the Big East maybe 15 years ago. Were they? Yeah, they were in the Big East at one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cincinnati, Louisville, Miami, Florida was in the Big East at one time. Yeah. Boston College. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Man, that old Big
West
East.
West Virginia.
They need to send Rutgers back.
You remember the Big East tournament, how great it was?
It was awesome. Madison Square Garden. It's still good in Madison Square Garden. But like all those teams. I mean, you saw the Kimba buzzer beater against Pittsburgh where Jim Calhoun's jumping on the floor. And you saw the 6-0 OT games with Jerry McNamara and Syracuse.
Against UConn?
Yep. Bring it back.
Yep. So
I'll never forget Jim Burr screwing Rutgers over one year. your boy Jimmy.
In Mass Square Guards where my hate started for Jim Burr. 41 free throws to five or whatever it was. Some ridiculous.
Was that Blake Griffin?
Yeah. Lost to Blake Griffin. Yeah. Yeah. That made me break my cheap Nokia phone. Didn't make me. I still threw it. But
those are pretty indestructible, too. So you must have launched that.
I spiked it straight down.
Been there.
It still worked, but it could only do certain things. I had to go get a new phone. I was going to get a new one for Christmas. I kind of ruined that. So I had to go get one the next week. And then I got, remember the, not the Razor, but the Crazers. Remember those?
I do. Yeah.
I had two of those over time. Because one got water damage, which Marvin Jarrett's pool was notorious for getting people.
It's gotten all water, of us.
Water damage.
Yeah. I jumped in one time with it in my swim trunks.
You tried, didn't you realize you're in the
air? I tried, and it got caught, and I couldn't get it. And then our friend Cameron did the same thing.
But he didn't realize it until it was minutes later,
oh crap, it's in my pocket.
Even if you threw it, that wasn't gonna end well.
No, it probably would have ended up in the pool. It would probably have bounced off the garage
or cracked on the concrete.
Yeah, that too.
But it was worth the effort. I like the effort.
I think I end up having to get a new phone. I think we put it on some rice or something.
Oh yeah, we always tried to rice for everybody.
It worked okay for maybe a month or two, and then it just kind of crapped out.
Oh, those were the days before smartphones, man.
Yep.
Miss it. miss it. But that is this week's blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Printsuit Promo Group. Performer Printsuit Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. So if you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Another interesting week in college hoops. Saturday, they released the first the committee's first 16, what the current top 16 seeds would be. And I got to think there was a lot of movement since Saturday.
Yeah, we saw a lot of top 10 teams lose this past week. Michigan took their second loss of the year. Purdue took a loss. Illinois took a loss. Nebraska took a loss. UConn took a loss. Houston took two losses. So it was a rough week for top 10 teams in the nation, but especially in the bracket preview show where we saw I the only surprise I saw was Iowa State being a one over Houston, but they had just beat Houston earlier in the week. So
then they lost.
And then they lost at home to Arizona without Koa Pete, one of their best players, if not their best player.
Arizona played Houston.
That's what I'm saying. Houston also lost Arizona. Iowa State, did they lose to BYU?
Yeah.
Okay, they ended up losing to BYU too, so they took a loss as well. No. I couldn't remember because that game tipped off so late.
Let me double check. BYU had a pretty sizable lead. Let me make sure.
That okay, one. And that was without one of their best players, Richie Saunders. But, so yeah, we saw a bunch of top 10 teams lose this week, which makes college basketball fun unless your team's involved in it, which both of us were. Our games were
BYU won by 10.
Okay. Our losses to teams this week were very, very different. Mm-hmm. Purdue just kind of got smacked early against, in my opinion, still, even though they lost to Duke, I still think Michigan's probably the best team in the country. Although Duke got them pretty good. I mean, they didn't blow them out or anything, but they
– I don't want to see either one of them in March.
I don't either. Of course, my team has to play them, one of them on Friday.
Yeah, well, at least you got them at home, but
– man, so did Mackey Arena.
Yeah, and I know I texted this in the group, and, you know, and we saw it with Cincinnati going into Fog Allen, which Fog Allen used to be
– that they, Kansas top, lost. It's another top 10 team.
Yeah, and got whooped.
Yeah, they did.
By a very mediocre, if not below mediocre, Cincinnati team.
Yeah.
I think the transfer portal's starting to screw up home court advantage for college basketball. I think guys aren't as intimidated going into these places because a lot of them are only at these schools for 1 or 2 years and don't have, like, you know, the freshman year. Oh, my God, I remember coming in here and losing by 16. And
yeah.
They're hearing the stories from their teammates. You know, I could be way off there, but, like, we're seeing teams lose at home that don't normally lose at home. Or not very often taking multiple L's at home. I don't know. Maybe I'm grasping at straws here, but
no, I that's actually interesting that you say that because I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, guys are there 1 year and they don't have that. Yeah, we lost by 30 here, and it's
especially veteran teams,
very very loud. Yeah,
ones that are being put together like Michigan.
Yeah, because I mean, Kansas obviously very very tough place to win.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, the largest loss at home to an unranked team selves ever taken there.
And they've lost a couple times at home this year, if I'm not mistaken.
They beat Arizona a few weeks ago. Or maybe I don't remember. But Kansas is interesting with the whole Darren Peterson situation because you could argue that they've been a better team without him.
Yeah, he's nightmare.
And I think
– they host Houston tonight, by the way.
Yes. Houston hasn't lost three straight since 2017, and Bill Self has not lost on Big Monday ever. I think they won 40-something straight games on Big Monday at home. So something's got to give there. But, the Darren Peterson situation, for those who don't follow college basketball, Darren Peterson's the most talented player in the country and likely number one overall pick. However, he likes to check himself out of games early in the second half and not come back in. He has dealt with some injuries. He had some leg issues. He's dealing with cramping a lot. He's been sick. So some of that is warranted. But other times he just checks himself out. And I think it's getting to the point where Kansas doesn't know how to play with him.
Yeah.
They've grown so accustomed to him not being out there that it's kind of screwing up their their flow a little bit offensively and defensively, to the point where now some of it has to do with, I think Pearson's a ball hog. He has two assists over his last 100-something minutes, which is pathetic, but it's interesting. It's to the point where you almost wonder if Self in his team, Peterson's team, kind of sit down and like, hey, why don't you just kind of take the rest of the year off, get ready for the draft sort of thing. He's not going to do that because, again, he's probably the most talented player in the country who can just go off. I mean, against Oklahoma State, he had 23 points in 18 minutes and checked himself out with 18 minutes left in the game. He didn't come back in. They didn't need him. But it's really starting to screw up their rhythm a little bit, and it's kind of a fascinating story. And I think the nation is kind of turned on Peterson a little bit, whether that's fair or not.
They did lose at home on December 2nd to UConn.
Okay, that's UConn though. Yeah. You can okay.
That's, but still, when's the last time they've lost multiple games of Fog Allen in the same year?
It's probably been
a little while.
But yeah, nothing like losing to Cincinnati. They got hammered.
Yeah.
It was tied with about 10 minutes left in the game. I watched a good amount of the second half anyway. Too. And Cincinnati just kept getting stops, coming down, hitting a three or getting to the free throw line, found themselves up 16 at the end of the game, which is incredible to go in there and do that. And Wes Miller's kind of saved himself, maybe, because just 2 weeks ago he had that viral video of him in tears after a game, kind of talking to fans, just like, hey, I'm sorry, we're letting you down sort of thing. And everyone thought he was going to get fired. And then they've rattled off, I think, four in a row. They're not going to make the tourney unless they go on an absolute heater. But the Big 12 allows you to do that because there's so many good teams in there that maybe not allow you to go on a heater, but allow you to get quality wins.
Quality wins, yeah.
But
yeah, I probably watched more college basketball Saturday than I have all year. But yeah, like you said, our teams both split in the week. Purdue bounced back after losing to Michigan on Tuesday night, an incredible environment, by the way, Tuesday night, and beat Indiana, pounded Indiana, beating by 29, their largest win over Indiana since 1969.
Really?
They shot 66 point something, highest field goal percentage in the Matt Painter era for a game. Yeah, they just couldn't do no wrong the other night. They just beat Indiana up, punched them in the mouth. Indiana had no answer. They shut Wilkerson down until garbage time, and he ended up getting 20 points.
Yeah.
DeFreeze hit a few early in the game, then shut him down after that.
He hit some tough ones, deep ones, where you're like, oh, okay, this isn't going to last.
But they just took Indiana out of it, which too bad they couldn't have done it. That first game still irks me because they should have done it to him the first time, but – three seniors played great. Braden Smith played great. Fletcher Lawyer, Trey Kaufman ran. And then Omar Mayer kind of had his coming out party from a scoring standpoint with 18 points. So,
you know, yeah. Mayer is the one that kept him in it in the first half against Michigan.
It
felt like he didn't. And Braden was good in the second half. Exactly. But it felt like they could have gotten him some more minutes in the second half, maybe as playing off of Braden.
Likes to shoot it.
yes, he does. But, yeah, Indiana, I think, is going to sweat.
Yeah, I do too.
Selection Sunday. It's tough. Their past two games at Illinois and at Purdue, that's tough.
Yeah.
But they got blown out in both.
They did.
So they have two good players, in my opinion, and then a bunch of role players that haven't played very well past couple weeks, and it's starting to really show. So
it's early in the DeFreeze era, but this offseason is crucial. They got to
go for sure. Yeah. And they lose a lot of talent too. So I mean,
they brought in a lot of 1 year guys.
Yeah, which was probably maybe all they could get at that time. But still, you're going to have to do the exact same thing in the offseason. Yep. You got to get some more multi year guys. So
yeah, and some of their younger guys like Trent Sisley from Southern Indiana, he's not playing.
He's not playing.
Got to wonder if he's going to transfer. I don't know.
Yeah, he. Indiana fans have been irked about that too. Yeah. How he's just not getting minutes over some guys he probably should be getting minutes, especially even when they're getting blown out. Like he's still, right. I mean, Illinois handled him, beat him by 20, and he only played 1 minute the whole game. Did he play at all against Purdue?
DeFreeze left the starters until a minute 15 left.
So probably
Matt Painter put the walk-ons in. He still had the starters out there, and then finally he took them out and put his walk-ons in, or maybe his bench guys. I don't know.
The problem with all the metrics they use is you almost just got to blow teams out, and you got to leave your starters in longer than you want to. And maybe that was maybe DeFreeze was trying to send a message to his team, but also like, hey, we can't lose by 29 or 30. Yeah. We got to keep this under 20, which they weren't able to do anyway. Like,
Purdue starters didn't even play 30 minutes that game. Most of them. Yeah. They pulled them early and just put the bench in, and then to put the walk-ons in. I mean, it was the score, 29 points closer than the game really was, to be honest.
I watched the first half, and I'm like, I'm not even going to turn it on the second half.
I thought Indiana would make a run to start second half, and they just didn't.
No, they didn't.
Nope. Yeah. And then I did watch a good amount. I think it was like last 8 minutes and through overtime the Illinois-UCLA game Saturday night.
Yeah. You know, coming into the week, I'm like, all right, split in the West Coast. It's great.
You did say that, yep.
The way it happened sucked.
Oh, yeah. There's no way around it. That.
No. They killed USC.
USC's done, though. I think
they're done, and then they followed that up with a home loss.
That's what I meant. Now, after the Oregon one.
They're definitely done now. I don't think you can put them in. But Illinois is just fired on all cylinders, hitting every. They got up 12 points in the first 5 minutes, and it didn't get below that. And they ended up getting up 36, or they won by 36. I think they got up 40 at one point. And then they start at UCLA, and they're up 33-10. And I'm thinking, this team's not losing another game.
And J-Man tweeted.
Yep, and I tweeted, they're pretty damn good. That's what I tweeted.
they still are.
They're very, very good. But it felt like they lost their edge. And defensively they couldn't get a stop. I mean, there was a stretch where UCLA hit 17 of 19 shots to get back in it to tie the game. And I just thought, and Underwood said it too, they just lost their defensive edge. It just felt like they got up 23 and they thought the game was over. Now, I credit Illinois for forcing overtime, because the way it was going, I wasn't sure if they could even win or if they could even force overtime. But they were able to force overtime. Ben Hummerkaus hit some big shots. They didn't shoot very well as a team, but Hummer hit five of them, hit five threes of their, I think they had 11 or 12, took a bunch of them though. But then overtime, they get the first bucket and then immediately give up a Bilodeau three, which he's a great shooter.
Yeah. He's scary.
Then Illinois found a way to get a 1-point lead with the ball, and I'm feeling okay, 'cause there's less than a minute left. I forget. I think Wagler might've missed a tough layup, and I always want to call him Peja, even though that's his dad. Dre Stojakovic had the offensive rebound in his hands, just soft, just let it go. And UCLA was able to get it, take the lead. And then Wagner had a tip in with 4.9 seconds left, up one, just one stop. Obviously, one stop wins you the game. And they let, for the second straight year, a point guard go coast to coast and make a layup.
Gotta kill him off. Gotta find a way to kill him off.
Yeah, hopefully they don't have to be in that situation again. But hopefully Underwood has learned, because you have your 7'2", arguably best shot blocker, second best shot blocker in the Big Ten, Zia Visek there. And he went, I know they were really scared of fouling, which I understand, because the official had called the game tight late. I mean, Illinois kind of got screwed on a very clear block by Visek the possession before for UCLA, which gave UCLA the lead. But he swiped down, so I could understand why they call the foul. But just, you got to force him to at least pass it. Like, if he has to pass it, there's a guy open in the corner. He passes it there. I'd much rather take my chances giving up a wide-open 22-footer than a wide-open layup. If he makes it, okay. But you give up a layup as time expired. It's just, I mean, they weren't going to win the Big Ten title anyway, because Michigan's not
running away with it. Yeah.
And now it's just, okay, just hold on to the, a top four seed, which they should be able to do. They have Michigan this week, but then they get Oregon and Maryland. So you should be able to win at least two of your next three. I want to hold on to that two seed, because right now I think Lenardi has them as the last two seed. It was frustrating the way it ended, and you hope it doesn't have a carryover effect. You look at Illinois' six losses this year. They've lost by four. Buzzer beater three against Nebraska. They've lost in overtime by three to Michigan State. overtime by 2 to Wisconsin, overtime by 1 to UCLA, 5 of their losses by 4 points or less, and then UConn got them okay by 12. They got to find a way to win these close games, because the only close game you could really say they won where it was like a one possession game where you had to make free throws was at Purdue. That was it. And in the situations they've been in, there was an excuse for the Michigan State game in KU without Boswell. There's an excuse for the Wisconsin game here without Boswell and Stojakovic. There's no excuse for this one at UCLA. And I think that probably clinched UCLA getting in, unless something disastrous happens. Because I think they're a solid team, but it's still a team. You get up 23, you should be able to close that thing out, regardless if there's 30 minutes left. So that was frustrating, but I took the Michigan State and Wisconsin losses way, way harder than I took this one, because you felt like you were a better team, and you kind of got homered at Michigan State, and then it sucked you without two of your starters against Wisconsin. But this one, you're at full strength. They just didn't knock in some shots. They even missed some free throws that they hadn't been missing. On Peja, I'm just going to call him Peja from now on.
Little Peja.
Little Peja came into this game. He was 54 for 58 from the free throw line in Big Ten play, and he missed, I think, two or three in the second half. If they're going to get beat, I just want them to get beat, you know? I just want them to get beat, you know, lose by 8. Like, okay, you got beat. But the past 3 losses, you just feel like you're clearly the better team, and you just found a way to lose it at the end. I mean, 9-point lead in the second half against Michigan State, 12-point lead in the second half against Wisconsin, 23-point lead in the first half against UCLA, and they lost all of them.
They're starting to remind me a little bit of the 21-22 Purdue team. Very talented, lost some close games, then had nothing to show for it. I mean, Illinois still got a chance to. I mean, they're not out of it for the Big Ten yet. Of course, still got the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament. But
yeah,
that's always the frustrating thing with college basketballs, especially for our two programs. A lot of times, very good teams, and you look back, and there's not much to show for it.
Yeah. The 2021 season, that was obviously a COVID year where it was weird rules and stuff like that. I was lucky enough that they won the Big Ten tournament, so you could at least have something.
Right.
You felt like you got kind of screwed out of a regular season title because Michigan only played 2 less games than Illinois, and Illinois went 16-4, but because Michigan had a better win percentage by marginal, they were able to get the number one seed. And then, of course, you lose to a 8 seed in the second round. But I think this Illinois team's they're capable, obviously, of making a very deep NCAA tournament run, and very capable of winning the Big Ten tournament title, which would be 3 out of the last 5 that they won, or 3 out of the last 6, something like that. Just gotta flush it, get it over with, just stop thinking about it. It's been hard for me to do, but hopefully the players have much shorter memories than I do.
Yeah, they're reminded about it a lot more than we are.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, and it's nice having a guy like Kylan Boswell who's been through the ringer and some other veterans that can kind of snap him out of it. But they get a whole week off, which is kind of nice that I can just kind of relax this week until Friday night where they have a big one against Michigan.
Yep, but full slate of Big Ten games Tuesday through Sunday this week.
They even have some Thursday nighters. Oh, Purdue plays Thursday night, right?
One Thursday nighter. Yep.
Finally. Get a Thursday night. It feels like they've been off on Thursdays for like the past month.
So. They have.
Yeah.
So let's get right into those games, starting with which one do we got tomorrow night? We got, Washington at Rutgers.
Washington took a rough loss to Maryland yesterday, which ends any hope they had of being an NCAA tournament team. It was very, very slim, but they still had a little bit of a chance because they had a and they're decent in the net. Give me Rutgers. I don't know. Coin flip that one.
I'll take Rutgers as well. Real quick trivia question for you. Who holds the longest winning streak right now in the Big Ten?
In the Big Ten?
And I'm not counting just Big Ten games, like just wins right now.
Total.
Since Michigan just lost. So.
Michigan State just lost. Iowa lost yesterday. Wisconsin's won 3 in a row. No, they lost to Ohio State.
There's 2 teams tied for it. I'll give you that. It's not a big number.
I don't know. Is it Maryland?
Minnesota and Michigan State with two.
Man, that is buff. That's rough.
Yeah. Because Michigan State beat UCLA and Ohio State last week.
Yeah, and Minnesota beat they beat Rutgers on Saturday.
And then, yeah, Rutgers on Saturday, and then they beat Oregon.
Oh.
Whoops, Oregon.
Yeah, at Oregon. Yeah.
Yep.
That is a small number.
Northwestern at Indiana tomorrow night.
Give me Indiana. If they lose that one, I think they're going to be done. They're done. Yeah.
Yep. Give me Indiana. Minnesota at Michigan.
Michigan hammers them.
Yep. USC at UCLA.
UCLA. I think USC is done, so.
I agree. Maryland at Nebraska Wednesday night.
Nebraska.
I got the Cornhuskers. Ohio State at Iowa. Big one.
Huge one, especially for Ohio State. They had a chance at Michigan State yesterday and just could not.
That's a 9 o'clocker.
Ooh, that is late. Give me Iowa at home. Ohio State needs it, though.
Taking Iowa as well. It's not the latest game, though, because we got an 11 o'clock tip.
Staying Wisconsin up for that one?
Oregon. Absolutely not. Wisconsin at Oregon.
Illinois played at 9 o'clock Eastern time a bunch.
Yeah. This is
11 Eastern time. Give me Wisconsin.
I'll take the Badgers on the road. Thursday night, 8 o'clock. Peacock, I believe. Michigan State, number 13, Michigan State at number 8, Purdue.
I'll give me Purdue.
I think Purdue gets this one. They usually play Michigan State pretty well in Mackey Arena. Yeah. So Friday night, huge one. Number 3, Michigan at number 10, Illinois, 8 o'clock.
This will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week. I'm hedging my bets a little bit, and I'm going to say Michigan wins. If they win, I get my bucket right. If they lose, my team wins. So I prefer my team win. Yes. But J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering, Insurance Agent, Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comma, Farm Insurance. Contact us 209-869-4561. Book it. It'll be interesting to see the Merez Johnson reception there. I mean, Sky Clark got booed heavily last year. So I'm sure this will be just as bad. But after the game against UCLA last year, it was very cordial between him and Underwood. Said, hey, tell your parents. I don't know if it'll be as cordial with Merez Johnson. And it helped that Illinois won that game last year.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm taking Michigan. I think it's a fairly close game, but I'm taking the
Wolverines. I think Ken Pom has Michigan winning 80-79. So,
J-Man can't take that.
Man, all these games have been tough games. They're either blowing teams out or losing by three. It's I prefer the latter, the former.
Full slate Saturday, Iowa, Penn State at noon.
Drop game. Penn State stinks, though. Give me Iowa.
I got Iowa as well. UCLA at Minnesota at 2 o'clock. I'll take the Bruins.
Give me UCLA. I think they're better, but they struggle.
Oregon at Northwestern, 2 o'clock.
Give me Oregon. Upset.
I'll take Northwestern at home. Wisconsin at Washington at 4 o'clock.
Give me Washington. Upset.
I'll take Wisconsin and Nebraska at USC at 4 o'clock.
Give me Nebraska. Yeah,
I like the Huskers there. Sunday, noon, Rutgers at Maryland.
Maryland.
I like Maryland as well. Purdue at Ohio State at 1:30.
Purdue.
I like Purdue as well in that one. And Michigan State at Indiana at 3:45.
The biggest game of Indiana season. Who the heck's going to guard Jeremy Fears? Give me Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm thinking Sparty as well. Top 25 games, there's one in progress right now. Louisville's up 23-16 at North Carolina.
Carolina lost Wilson. What's his first name? Caleb? Caleb Wilson? Their best player and stud freshman. So give me Louisville.
I'm taking Louisville as well. Houston at Kansas tonight. Houston's 2.5-point favorites.
Give me Houston. I think Houston's better. I don't think they're going to lose three in a row.
Yeah, one of these teams is losing three in a row. So give me Houston.
When's the last time Kansas lost two straight home games? Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a while. Let me see if there's any other top 25 against top 25 this week. St. John's at UConn Wednesday night.
St. John's is rolling. I think they've won 12 or 13 in a row.
They haven't played anybody.
They haven't. Give me the Big East, again, kind of stinks this year. Give me UConn.
Yep, I like UConn in that one. Is Western Michigan any good? No, they're not doing that one. Virginia at Duke Saturday, 11 at 1. That's a noon game.
Virginia is so much different than they were under Tony Bennett. They're scoring a ton of points. Mm-hmm. Much, much more fun brand of basketball. Although that Virginia team did win a national title. They also got beat by a 16 seed. So give me Duke. Cameron Indoor.
I like Duke at home. Kansas at Arizona on Saturday.
That's brutal, man. Give me Arizona. Kansas is going to free fall. I will say Elliot Cadu for Michigan, who obviously played at North Carolina, said Mackey is way louder than Cameron Indoor, which I can't disagree. I've never been to Cameron Indoor, but I've been to Mackey many a times.
It was pretty loud and, Tuesday, even though it never popped like it was ready to, because they didn't give them a cheat reason to.
Yeah.
Alabama at Tennessee.
Give me a Charles Bediako still trying to get, still trying to play. I
could become a distraction.
It's good. It has to. Yeah. Give me Tennessee.
I like,
big road win for Rick Barnes and the boys at Vandy.
They've won a stupid amount.
Yeah.
Not in a row, but of like out of so many. Vanderbilt. It sounded like a Tennessee home game the other day.
It did. It definitely did.
And Arkansas at Florida.
Give me Florida. Florida might be the hottest team in the country.
Yeah, they're scary. They're a scary three seed right now. Yeah,
they are.
So, I know you got a little baseball to talk about. I got a baseball list, but I need to get educated real
quick. Do you want to get educated? I have it pulled up here. On this day in 1934, Casey Stengel became manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Good one.
On this day in... I can talk about baseball next week, too, because it's not going anywhere. Sure. On this day in 1964, who won the Daytona 500?
Bobby Allison.
Richard Petty led for 184 of the 200 laps.
Yeah, he's named the king for a reason.
Yeah. 1968, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain became the first player in NBA history to score 25,000.
He's starting to pop up in these on this day quite a bit.
Yes, he is. On this day, we got some Olympics. 1985, goaltender Patrick Waugh makes his NHL debut for the Montreal Canadiens.
And became a Colorado Avalanche legend after that, and okay coach, but it didn't end well. That's what happens when you hire legends.
Yep, exactly. Legend, another legend, legendary chair toss, Bob Knight in 1985, 41 years ago.
Steve Reed shot a lot of free throws. He was at the line when it happened, shooting a technical free throw.
1988, Chicago gives the Cubs rights to install lights and play up to 18 night games.
That's amazing. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, 1988. On this day in 2014, who won the Daytona 500?
2014, I probably watched it. I don't know. Let's go Kyle Busch. I don't
know. Come on, man. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
In 14, he did?
That's what it says.
No kidding. God, I used to be a junior fan. That is sad.
I know. That's why I said come on.
Wow, that is sad. I don't remember that at all. Well,
on this day in... This is a rough one here, the last one. 2021, Tiger Woods got into that car accident and broke both his legs.
Man, he was in the commentary booth this weekend because he helps run the Genesis, and he doesn't look like he's 50. He looks like he's in his 60s.
Really?
He looks so old in the face right now. He was kind of non-committal about his schedule. I think he's going to try to play on that senior tour because he can use a cart.
Yeah. Might keep him fresh for four rounds or however many rounds they play.
A lot of people still think if he's breathing in April, he'll play Augusta, but we'll see. That's such a tough walk. I don't know.
I have a hard time seeing him make the cut there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Do you really want to see him miss the cut by 10 shots?
Yeah. or withdraw once he has a bad Thursday or something.
Yep. So So we'll see. But the On This Day segment is brought to you by, like as every, by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing. And before we go over to the birdie or bogey, I do have this tier list I want to do. I wanted to do this last week with it, and we ran out of time. Hopefully my internet will cooperate with me because sometimes when I share my screen, it doesn't like it. But I have all the MLB caps from last year. I want you to list them at tiers. Your tiers are elite, good, okay, and bad. Let me see. Right. Hopefully this, you'll be able to see it. Hopefully the viewers at home can, because I don't think it's going to let me zoom in too closely. But there we go. And they're in alphabetical order. So you got the Arizona Diamondbacks right there with the red cap with the black bill.
I'm going to put that in the okay tier.
Okay, tier. Atlanta Braves, traditional blue cap with the red bill.
Good.
Good. Baltimore Orioles, you got the black back, then the white and the orange bill.
That's elite for sure. That's elite.
Boston Red Sox, traditional classic navy blue with the red B.
Good. Just because it's classic.
Chicago Cubs, classic one blue with the red C.
Good.
Good. Well, I thought you were going to put it elite.
Nah.
Chicago White Sox, black with the White Sox logo.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. Cincinnati Reds, all red with a white C.
That's good. That's good. That one. Yeah.
Cleveland Guardians, all red with a navy C and navy bill.
Bad. I don't like that one.
Colorado Rockies, black with the purple CR.
That's bad.
It might be the worst in the MLB, to be honest. It's awful. And I have it. I have the purple bill, but yeah. Detroit Tigers, all navy with the white D.
Cursive. That's okay. That's not bad.
Houston Astros, I hate this hat because I'm
my roommate too. All
the time. Navy with the star and the white H.
Put it in the bad category. I don't like it.
I was so sick of seeing that. Royals, royal blue with white KC.
That's okay.
Anaheim Angels, all red with the red A. That's kind of color contrast there.
That's okay. Man, I'm being way too negative probably.
Traditional Dodgers, all blue with the white LA.
That's a good one.
Only one elite so far.
Yeah.
The Marlins can barely see it. All black with a turquoise looking M.
That's okay. Yeah.
Brewers, navy with navy mitt and ball.
That's a good one.
The Twins, all navy with white T and the red C.
That's good.
I like that one.
Yeah.
The Mets, you got their blue with the orange and a Y.
That's okay.
Yankees, traditional navy blue with the white and Y.
That's good. I almost dropped an elite bomb there just because it's so classic.
A's, you got the green with the white A's and the yellow brim.
That's good. I do like that cap a lot.
And I think that's elite for me. I like that one.
I know. I kind of want, you know, a bumper up. I do like that as well in the elite category.
So now we got two elites. Yeah. Phillies, all red with the white P.
That's okay.
Pirates, all black with yellow or gold P.
That's good.
Padres, brown with the yellow SD.
Bad.
Giants, black with the orange SF.
That's a good
one. Good. Mariners, navy blue with the green and white S.
That's okay.
Cardinals, all red with white STL.
That's good.
That's good. Rays, all blue with white TB.
Bad.
Rangers, all blue with the white and red T.
Bad.
Blue Jays, all blue with then the blue and red and white Blue Jay.
That's elite. I like that one. Yeah.
And the Nationals, all red with white W.
That's okay.
So quick recap for the audio listeners, Elite. You got the Orioles, the A's, and the Blue Jays. Good. You got the Braves, Red Sox, Cubs, Reds, Dodgers, Brewers, Twins, Yankees, Pirates, Giants, and Cardinals. Okay. You got the Diamondbacks, White Sox, Tigers, Royals, Angels, Marlins, Mets, Phillies, Mariners, and Nationals. In bad, you got the Guardians, Rockies, Astros, Padres, Rays, and Rangers.
I like that. That was fun.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah.
All right, birdie bogey time. What college has had the most players drafted at quarterback?
I'm between two. Probably wrong on either one of them. I'm between two Big Ten schools, USC and Michigan. I'm going with USC.
You got it, you son of a gun. Can you name how many?
How many drafted all time, including backups? Oh, my gosh. Let's go with 35.
17.
Halfway. I doubled it. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Good job there, T-Dog. Two-stroke lead.
Thank you. Oh, man. All right. It won't last, so I'm going to savor while I can.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.